Very good.
Okay.
Mr. Sedaris, are you with us?
Yes.
All right.
See my picture. I got my camera on. I don't know what's going on.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are live and recording. Chair, the floor is yours.
Hey, thank you. Welcome, everyone. We're the City of Morro Bay Recreation and Parks Commission. This is a regular meeting, March 17th, 2022 at 6 p.m. And this meeting is being held via teleconference. There are four members on the committee, and we need to have three here. And we do have three, so we do have a quorum. So welcome, everybody, and I'll call the meeting to order. Now, please join me in a pledge in a moment of silence. Next is the Pledge of Allegiance. Drew, would you like to lead us in the pledge?
Sure.
All right.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, and with liberty and justice for all. Can you guys see me at all? I can't see myself.
No, we see a nice picture of the flag there.
Okay. Huh. No, I can't wait for the next meeting to be in person.
There you go. We'll hold out for that.
The next item on our agenda is the announcements. Any announcements from my fellow commissioners?
The only thing I've got is, you know, pickleball. There's some new rules for pickleball. So if you go to Facebook, Morro Bay Pickleball on Facebook, you can see some of the new rules on pickleball. And that's all I've got today.
Well, good. Mr. Carmichael, are there any announcements?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me first out start off by welcoming and introducing Ray Purcell. Ray's joining us. This is his first meeting tonight as a Recreation and Parks Commissioner. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
Hey, now's your chance, Ray. You got the mic if you want to say anything to the TV audience out there.
I'm the shy and retiring type.
We appreciate you.
Board.
Yeah, we do appreciate your volunteerism and working with us. Thank you very much. I do have just two other quick things to announce. First of all, there is just one thing. We need you guys to complete your Form 700, and that is the document through the clerk's office. Hey, there you are, Drew.
Yeah.
All right. That is the document that our clerk's office has for you. It's supposed to be taken care of by April 1st. If you get to take care of it, it'd be great. Otherwise, and I did want to mention, as we all know by now, that Commissioner Davis is not able to join us tonight. She called me the other day, letting me know she had a work conflict. So with that, I'll turn this over to Angelica Gallardo for any announcements that she might have. Angelica?
Hey, I'm gonna update quickly on a couple things with recreation. First, our classes. As of, I wanna say it was February 22nd, no mask inside. So that was lifted, and that really helped our classes. Our exercise classes, they seem to the population went up, and I feel like more people are going to start participating at, and we're going to up our participation numbers, and then we'll have our spring classes out coming up in April. We also, let's see, for our youth services, we've got Kids Club. We have registration for our upcoming school year already open. We also are hosting a couple new more events. We have a Kids Night Out, another one in April. It's a Mad Hatter Tea Party. And then we also have our spring camp. This I think we're most excited about. It's another one of our holiday hangouts, but it's a sports camp again. That we did that during the winter break and it was so popular. And we're gonna do another one. The great thing about this one is that we are partnering with our sports department, but also with the Community Foundation of Estero Bay. And they, with some help from grants that they just received, we worked together, created this sports camp, and they are going to be able to provide funding for all gear for our participants. So that's really, it's really exciting. What we created was every day they'll learn one of our benchmark sports that we do here for our youth programs, and they'll get gear for that. So like they'll do a soccer day, we'll present a soccer day, and the kids are going to all get shin guards to like use in the next season. And they're going to get baseball mitts and water bottles. So we're really excited about this. We hope that we can continue to do this. I know the foundation is really excited to do this because we hope that these children who have to use childcare because their parents are working, you know, and financially things are getting harder for them, that they're going to have the supplies now to go out and do these sports that our foundation already supports. So we just see this really great collaboration. We're really excited about it. And I'm excited because it's youth services, it's our sports department, and then foundation who's just been so supportive of us. So we are excited about those. And then it's summertime, which means we are nonstop already. We're planning summer camp. We are planning junior guard, which I'm assuming Mr. Carmichael is going to talk about. But we also are getting ready for events now that we get to kind of do fun stuff again. So we're going to have our Mermaid Pirate Parade in May. We're going to have, I've already started planning our 4th of July event, which is a nice big family fun day in the park. So we're excited to just get back to bringing life to our families and community here. So that's all I have today.
Thank you, Angelica. And let me go ahead and pass this over to Ken. Mr. Zink, if you've got any announcements, now's your chance. And welcome. This is Ken's first commission meeting. So I want to welcome him to our commission tonight. Ken? Ken, I think you're on mute.
My apologies. Thanks for the opportunity to be here from everybody. Just want to update everybody on what's going on in the Morro Bay sports world. We finished our basketball season on March 6th. After a full season of having to play games outdoors, we were able to move our tournament indoors. And so, the fourth to eighth grade teams got to get a little exposure to tournament play, and they were happy to be indoors after, you know, having to bear the elements outdoors. And we had a great season. Right after that, we went straight into our girls softball season, which had our opening day on March 12th. So we have four different teams and about 60 players playing that. We are extending an adult softball registration. We are allowing a little bit more time for more teams to register here. So we're going to be doing registration through April 5th and pushing back games to April 11th. We also got flag football coming up. It'll be a triumphant return of the flag football program here in the Estero Bay area, which I'm very, very excited about. And on top of that, we also have our Rock to Pier run coming up in July, which we'll be bringing back in person. So we're excited about that too. And sports are back in Morro Bay. So I'm excited to be a part of it and part of the community. And
Very good. Thank you, Ken. And Mr. Chairman, I neglected to speak of a couple other items. So if you let me jump back in and give it another try.
Sure.
Thank you. I did neglect to mention the funding received from our Community Foundation of Estero Bay for fiscal year 22. So that's really the period of July 1 of 21 to current right now. So funding up through February, we've received $24,860 from the foundation. The majority of those funds were to help provide scholarships for our kids club program, followed by kids camp, and then also about $3,000 of that went towards our youth soccer and youth basketball program. So we're real thrilled to have the foundation supporting us and our youth out here in the Estero Bay, those kids who are not able to afford our program. So hats off to them. And then, as Ms. Gallardo did mention, I do want to speak real briefly about our Junior Lifeguard program. And yes, we're looking forward to and very excited about offering Junior Lifeguards 2022. The program kicks off, really it's about ready to start with our preseason boot camp pool program. So we've got a series of Sundays where kids come out, where participants can come on out to the swimming pool and get back in the water and get themselves geared up and ready to participate down on the beach again. It's pretty tough for some of these kids who don't hit the water at all during the school year and then all of a sudden want to jump back out there in June, expecting to get out there and swim through the surf and whatnot, and they find that they're pretty darn exhausted. So this is one way for them to get a little bit of in the pool experience, swimming some laps and doing some other lifeguard types of items. Thank you, Charlie. Lifeguard types of items. So this is our flyer that really outlines three of our main programs that make up the Junior Lifeguard program as a whole. The one on the far left, as I had just described, is the boot camp pool program. And then in the middle, we've got what we're calling our lifeguard in training, and that is for the participants 14 years and older who've got a few years under their belt as a junior lifeguard, but are still too young to become an instructor or an aide. That is the requirement is 16 years of age. So this allows them to come out onto the beach and be in a leadership role, working with our staff to help develop their skills as young lifeguards in training. There is an interview process, an application process for those participants to be invited in as a lifeguard in training. So we're looking forward to that. And then the far right does outline our main junior lifeguard program beginning June 20th. Again, we're running 4 2-week sessions. However, this year we increased we changed the times, increased it by an hour. So the time frame is from 9 to 2, and involved in that the participants will receive a t-shirt, group photo, a junior lifeguard patch, and get some wonderful training in beach lifeguarding and ocean environment, environmental awareness and things of that nature. So registration does open up at the end of this month, beginning with Monday, March 28th. We've got Morro Bay residents and scholarship recipient registration. So we're going to allow for Morro Bay citizens to have a first shot at registering in this program. And just a quick background, when we do put this program up for registration, it sells out in about 5 minutes. So we're giving our locals the first crack at it. And then you'll see session A, Tuesday, B, C, and D, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, online only. And that starts at 9 o'clock. So it's a mad dash to fill in the rest of those spots that our Morro Bay locals are not able to grab at first. So thank you for that. And those are the announcements that we have here as staff. And Mr. Chairman, I'll go ahead and turn it back over to you to move on to the next portion of our agenda. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. Pretty exciting stuff. Really nice. We'll look down on our agenda's item. The next is presentations. Now, I know Ms. Davis isn't here this evening. Mr. Carmichael, do we have a report from the Morro Bay Senior Citizens?
Thank you for asking. At this time, I do not have a report.
Okay. We'll get caught up next time.
Yes, sir.
Next on our agenda is the public comment period. Pursuant to Assembly Bill 361, 2021 to 2022, and Government Code Section 54953, this meeting will be conducted telephonically through Zoom, broadcast live on cable channel 20, and streamed on the city website. Please be advised that pursuant to Assembly Bill 361, 2021 to 2022, and Government Code Section 54953, and to ensure the health and safety of the public by limiting human contact that could spread the COVID-19 virus, we are not meeting in person again this evening. In fact, there's no physical location for public viewing tonight. In order to prevent and mitigate the effects, and according to the executive order N0821, the city will not make available our physical location, but we have this remote public participation, which includes emails sent to us or logging into this Zoom meeting. Do we have anyone for public comment?
Thank you, Chair. We have no raised hands in the queue.
Okay, thank you. Seeing none, then let's move to our next agenda item. Next on our calendar is the consent calendar. There are a few items here on the consent calendar. A1 is approval of minutes from Recreation and Parks Commission meeting January 20th, 2020. And A2, Recreation Service Division status report. A3, Recreation Service Division participation reports for January and February. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes and reports as submitted and accepted into our minutes this evening?
Yes. So moved.
Seconded.
A second, please.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Very good, seeing no opposition. A1, A2, and A3 are received and filed. And we're moving right along. The next order of business is C1, which is the election of the chair and the vice chair 2022. I'd like to make a recommendation that I stay on as the position of chair. I'd be happy to do that.
I'll second that motion.
Everybody in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing no opposition? Then we will receive and file that I'll stay on as chair for the next term. There's also the election of vice chair.
I'd like to nominate Mr. Purcell for vice chair.
I'll second that. Mr. Purcell, would you like to get more involved than you are currently? This being your first meeting?
Well, let's just jump into the pool here.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're my mentor now.
All right. That puts a lot of pressure on me.
Good.
So, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No, seeing no opposition. Looks like we've elected our chair and vice chair. So that we're gonna have that received and filed, please.
Thank you, gentlemen.
C2 is our next item. That's the election of the Morro Bay Seniors representative. right now, currently, we have Melissa Davis as our Morro Bay Seniors representative. She's doing a fine job. She's not here this evening, but I'd like to nominate her for another term if I could. Can we do that with her not being present?
Yes, you can.
Well, then I move to nominate Miss Davis.
I'll second that.
Very good. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. Seeing no opposition, C2, election of Morro Bay Seniors representative, is received and filed. My goodness, we're going through this pretty quickly this evening. Number three is our staff report, Prop 68 per capita. Mr. Carmichael.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure why we're moving through so quick. You might have green beer to drink in a minute. I'm not sure. Just checking.
Maybe so. I don't know.
Thank you. This is a standing verbal report on our Proposition 68 grant funding. And what I would like, well, let me back up. I have received information from our Public Works Office, who has taken on this grant, these grant funds, grant fund opportunities, as well as park development projects. So what I would like to propose is for our next meeting to remove these standing verbal reports, which we have two of them, one being Prop 68 and the other being the bocce court, and lump them into one verbal report and or a written staff report that would give updates on current park projects in general. So what I do is work with our Public Works Office, keeping up to date with what is taking place in our parks in the area, or in the city, excuse me, and then also with the grants that are available. So what I have right now, just to play along with our agenda, is I wanted to put that out to you guys first to see if that's something that that we could entertain and maybe, like I said, consolidate and present in that different fashion in our next meeting. Mr. Chairman, can you take the lead on that and have discussion?
I sure can. That sounds like a good idea. Lumping bocce ball and the others into one report. So you're saying into the one report for all the current projects in general.
That's correct. Which would also include grant funding that might be applicable to any park development taking place.
Very good. Commissioners, what do you think? Drew?
Sounds like a good idea. Sounds like a real good idea.
Okay. May I have a motion then to...
Yeah. And Mr. Chairman, we won't need a motion for that item, but what I will do again is just jump into C3 and go ahead and give you the verbal report in regards to Prop 68 grant funding.
Oh, okay.
And then gotcha. You can go ahead and make motion on each individual report if you would. Thank you. So at this time, and what I'm going to do is just do a quick read from information I received from our Public Works Office. And our new city engineer and engineer, oh gosh, I'm not sure what her title is, but nevertheless, here I go. As we've discussed in the past meetings, we're familiar with the Proposition 68 funding opportunities that were made available throughout the state. A couple of years ago, we did apply for the per capita funding, which was a set amount of dollars available for any agency that applied within the state. We are set to receive $177,000, and it was earmarked for the replacement restroom facility at Coleman Park. Since that time, we have gone to a couple public hearings, and we had received input from the public regarding how to develop the Coleman Park area. And we've discussed that at our last meeting, and you all weighed in on you know, what sounded good and what didn't, as far as the conceptual development of the park. And pardon me, I lost my light, so I'm waving to everybody to turn my light back on because it makes it hard for you guys to see. Oh well, it doesn't want to go on. Bear with me. Thank you. Charlie to the rescue. I've got a beautiful office with the sun setting behind me, so it doesn't irritate me. I really like it. Anyways, back to where I was. So we do have the initial conceptual plan developed, and we have Public Works Office then had submitted additional grant applications to the state, one being the State Rural and Recreation and Tourism Program. That was submitted, they didn't tell me when it was submitted, but the grant findings will be released in late spring, so we'll find out if there's funding that is coming through with that opportunity. And just as a quick refresher, the per capita funding was a given. All you need to do is apply and have some kind of a project in mind. These other two that I'm going to mention now are competitive grants, which do require a much more strenuous application process, and we do compete with other cities and counties and agencies in the state. So we will find, it will be notified in late spring. And additionally, the Public Works Office is preparing to submit an application for the State Recreational Trails Program, and that is due April 7th. And most likely award would be announced more towards the end of the year. So these funding opportunities are really being put in place to help us further develop Coleman Park. That's the report I have, the verbal report I have for item C3, updating you on the grant opportunities with Proposition 68 through state parks. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
And I'm happy to answer any questions if you might have them.
I have one just to make sure that I'm getting this straight. You're saying that there are three different funding possibilities. The first one for 177 has been submitted and we've gotten that. The other two are competitive bids, and they're all of these would go just for the Coleman Park project.
That's correct.
Okay. Sounds good.
And that concludes item C3. And we're looking for you to accept the report for file.
Okay. Do I have a motion to receive and file these three items on the report Prop 68 per capita, C3?
I'll make a motion to receive and file.
A second, please.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Seeing no opposition then, C3 is received and filed. Then we'll move here to C4, which is bocce ball. And so for going forward, bocce ball would be talked about in all the reports.
Yes. So as I had mentioned, we'll go ahead and add that into a report that we'll provide at our next meeting. That's going to lump any park project into one report. But for this particular one, item C4, I have a quick verbal report I can offer up.
Excellent.
Close this out. Thank you. So this project has been in the works for years. We broke ground right before COVID hit, and has now gone through a few different hands. Ooh, pardon me. Spam phone call. This project has gone through a number of different staff members at the Public Works Office. It's been a bit of a turnover. So at this time, it's back in its preliminary design phase. And what has happened is they took a look at the original design done a couple of years ago and realized it was a bit too expensive, a bit too elaborate for our needs. So they were reducing the scope, which is reducing the cost. And what we have now is we have a consultant on board. It's the ICOF design group. They've completed preliminary plans for the updated bocce ball in the process of creating technical specifications at this time. They anticipate having the completed bid package by the end of March 2022. And this includes two official size bocce ball courts along with an ADA accessible path. So what I'm gathering from this is initially we had a group of volunteers who were willing and ready to jump on board to help with the project. It appears as though they're going to go out to bid for certain elements of the project, which may or may not include volunteer help. So I don't have specifics on that at that time, but this is what I have to offer up from our Public Works office in regards to the bocce court. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
I have no questions. I'm good. Anyone else, Drew?
No, it went from a couple railroad ties to a project.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Technical. Now, the technical specs you said are coming this month.
Yes, sir. I'm looking forward to seeing those, reviewing them, and then responding to the consultant, and then seeing what our next steps are.
And is there going to be one court or two courts?
It's two official size courts and an ADA accessible path.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. All right. May I have a motion then to receive and file C4?
Make a motion to receive and file C4.
And a second?
A second.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed? See no opposition then? Let's file C4, the report on bocce ball. C5 is the staff report on the aquatics activities. Mr. Carmichael, we'll go back to you.
Thank you. One more time. Yeah, this one was initially brought forward by Commissioner Davis to discuss the various aquatics activities that this office is able to offer to our community. We did have robust conversation a couple meetings ago. However, and I believe we came to conclusion with our conversation. So at this time, I'll state again, the aquatics activities that we do offer to our community revolve around a full service program at our at the Morro Bay High School Aquatics Center, where the city does take on operations during school hours, also on some weekends, as well as summertime. And that would involve our lap swim, aqua aerobics, masters swim, semi-private and private lessons, group lessons, which we'll see this summer, aqua aerobics, and I think, did I get masters swimming in there as well? So.
You did.
Thank you. So that's it as far as our swim pool is concerned. And then the other opportunities are junior lifeguard program and those three that we had discussed during my announcements. So I would recommend at this time that we remove the staff report until such time that we are exploring additional aquatics activities. And I have something more to report on, if that's okay with the commission.
That sounds good to me. That's a good idea.
I agree.
Great.
Okay. So let's move then to have a motion to receive and file the staff report on the aquatic activities, including the removal of the report for next time and as we go further. Do I have a motion to receive and file?
I'll make a motion that we receive and file the report and the changes as described by you.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Very good. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none then? C5, the staff reporting aquatic activities is received and filed. Moving on to C6 is our staff report on the holiday hangout, fall 2021, winter 2021 to 2022.
Okay, it's my turn. I'm gonna go quick through these because I have four reports for you. For holiday hangouts, I combined this report to do for our fall holiday hangout as well as our winter. That was 3 weeks of camps is what we call this. And so basically, in a nutshell, we provide programming for families who still need care during holiday breaks for the school district. And so we held one during Thanksgiving that was pretty popular. We had about 19 children a day. It was a 3-day camp. And then we did we had two different ones in the winter. One was a 3-day camp in December, and that one had about 21 kids. And then we did our first edition of the sports program, the sports camp, in January. And that one was our popular one. We had an average of 34 children a day. So that one, that's how I know that one is the most popular. That's an average number. We like that average number. We bring in a good amount of money, which is nice with revenue, but of course staffing costs is my biggest cost. It wasn't as high for this report specifically because unfortunately during winter break, COVID really hit our staff and we had quite a few of us out. Which left staff really limited in a small amount. Luckily, we were still able to run camps, but typically we run them with a higher staffing amount just for the safety of kids. So cost recovery was good on this one. They always are because, again, parents pay registration fees and that covers a lot of our costs, but our highest cost is always staffing. And then, of course, staff, we just recommend that we're going to continue to run these. One, the support of our families. They really appreciate us offering these programming during the winter breaks and during all holiday breaks. And that's just because these families still need to work. So we will continue. And then my biggest recommendation is that we're really excited about this holiday hang out during spring break, our sports camp. I think that one's going to be very popular. We already have quite a few children signed up for this one. Okay, that's it for that. Any questions on holiday hangouts report?
I have just one. Do we provide any meals or snacks?
Thanks, Drew. Yes, we provide a morning snack and an afternoon snack.
Excellent. That's wonderful. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Ms. Calero, thank you very much. Wonderful. Cost recovery of 123%. That's nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, like I said,
with all the COVID, you guys really did a nice job. Thank you very, very much. It's noticed.
Thank you. Yeah, this one, it does, like I said, it brings a good amount of money in. Typically, we do spend a lot more on staffing, but I think six of us. So,
wow.
Yeah, it was a lot. It really did take a hit on the program, unfortunately. Like I said, still able to run it, all safe still, but not at the capacity, or not at what we like to run it at, so. All right.
Okay, thank you. So we are now at the point where we will see a motion to receive and file. C6, the staff report for the holiday hangouts.
Do I move to receive and move to receive and file?
And a second, please.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, seeing no opposition, C6, the staff report is received and filed. That brings us to C7, the holiday tree lighting, 2021.
That's me again.
Ricardo.
All right, so we have our annual holiday tree lighting. We host that the very first Friday in December. It's kind of our holiday kickoff. And this year we had approximately 175 participants. I think this was great. Again, it was at the peak of like people starting to get out and do things again. And, you know, we could sing carols again and sit on Santa's lap. So that was always really a great thing. But this ran similar to the ones in the past where we have a couple performances. We had the children from Kids Club Children's Center. They did a couple caroling, Christmas carols. We had the band from Del Mar Elementary come out and participate. We offered, the senior center donated cookies. We offered apple cider. And then of course the fire department brought Santa and his elf. And then Santa read his favorite story and he sang some carols and we lit our tree in City Park. So it's a very minimal cost for this program, which is nice. It's easy to plan. We do it quickly. And like I said, I think my favorite part about it and the reason we'll continue to do this at the beginning of December is it's our kickoff. It's to the holiday season. It's the same weekend as the lighted boat parade, and we'll continue to keep it that way so that we can kind of introduce Christmas season, and then we do our others, and then that Saturday is the lighted boat parade. Any questions on this one?
No, I agree that it's a great program and everybody in the community really likes it and appreciates it. So yes, I certainly think we should keep it forever and ever. And thank all the nice people, the seniors that brought the cider and the cookies and everybody.
Yeah,
and Santa's always dependable.
And yeah, Santa's always dependable.
Yes. Yeah, it's
fantastic. Fantastic.
Perfect.
Okay, so do I have a motion to receive and file the holiday tree lighting staff report?
Sure, I'll make a motion to receive and file the holiday staff report.
I'll second.
All in favor? Aye. Any opposition? Seeing no opposition, C7 staff report, holiday tree lighting 2021 is received and filed. C8, speaking of Santa, staff report, breakfast with Santa 2021.
All right, so this is our second holiday event that comes with our holiday kickoff weekend. And this is our breakfast with Santa. We have moved, typically this program was held indoors, but COVID has taught us some amazing things. And this one thing is that we have this wonderful parking lot that we can in the community center that we can use to do kind of festivals. And so we've turned our breakfast with Santa into that. We did outdoor eating. We provided a great little, we called it the Elf Workshop, but we had a whole programming event for children and families that participated. And we sold 102 tickets for that. And we probably had well over 150, 175 people at this event. The thing that really helped us, our revenue, it doesn't bring in too much revenue. And of course, staffing is also a larger fee. But what keeps our staffing down is that I worked with a lot of volunteers on this program. So we had the Kiwanis group come out and they cooked our pancake breakfast, and this was their first time doing it and they really enjoyed it. So I believe they'll just continue. They've definitely signed on to help us. Of course, we have Santa who volunteers. We had the senior center that they volunteered to help with Gingerbread Housemaking Buttercup Bakery donated cookies and provided two staff members to do cookie decorating. The Community of Foundation of Estero Bay did a hot cocoa. They hosted a hot cocoa bar. And then we had some of our staff doing crafts and face painting and all the other fun little things. But including those volunteer groups, I mean, one is great because it helped it, you know, it spreads, I think, this program to our community, but it obviously keeps our costs down too. So that's always helpful. And I mean, of course, we will continue to do this event as it gets more popular. We had a couple anonymous donors purchase tickets for kids to get to have to come out, which was really great. So at our Christmas tree lighting, we were handing them out. Santa got to hand them out to certain participants. He did a little quiz. It was perfect. So staff recommends that we continue to offer this program. We really like doing it outside. I think we'll continue that. We are lucky that in Morro Bay, the weather is still beautiful in December. So, and it gave us more space to do more of a festival event. And yeah, we'll keep using our volunteer groups. And I think this is a trend we are going to start seeing to get these volunteer groups to be involved. So any questions you guys have on this one?
Sounds like a fantastic program. And a good idea. They put it out on the parking lot and get outside, and maybe something good came of that bit of COVID business. Okay, so do we have a motion to receive and file staff report C8, Breakfast with Santa?
I move to receive and file C8.
I second it.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing no opposition, C8 staff report Breakfast with Santa is received and filed. Moving to C9, the staff report for Parents Night Out 2022.
Okay, this is me, final one. Parents Night Out, this is actually, we've changed the name to this event. It's now referred to as Kids Night Out. The whole point was that it was Parents Night Out. They got to drop the kids off, leave them with us. We gave them childcare and had fun events or activities, and then the parents got to go out. And then one of the children mentioned, no, this is our night out. And this last one, they talked about how this was their party that they were going to, and they were so excited about it. So we've changed it to Kids Night Out. And again, this was something we did years ago, and then we had to take away just with budgeting, and we're able to bring it back because we made smart choices. We have it here at the community center. We kind of have the hours shortened, and then we are able to use staff who, you know, like some of our high school staff, if I have a head person, some high school staff. So it's been really great, but we hosted it. It's a Friday night. It's a 5 to 8. Parents sign them up, drop them off. They have some dinner with us. They do some crafts and we, you know, watch a movie or play a bunch of games. This last one, they were intending to watch movies, and then the kids just wanted to play the whole time. So no movie, they played. And really this, you know, we enjoy doing these. We do one in February because parents can go have a Valentine's date and drop their kids off. We typically do one in December as well, so parents can go Christmas shopping and then leave them with us. But this last one we had in February, we had 21 kids participate, which is a great number. And a lot of the parents were like, we would love to see this regularly. We would love to have this opportunity. You know, it's a great one. It's a very reasonable babysitting thing, but it's an opportunity for our family, our parents, to go out in Morro Bay and just kind of enjoy their evening while their kids are doing something. And our families trust our staff so much that I think they like, you know, getting to have them. They feel safe knowing that that's the person watching them. So we will continue to do these. As I told you before, we'll have one in April. And I think we'll keep having those. The other thing is we moved them to Fridays. We used to do them on Saturdays, and Fridays are just a little easy because they're a little more flexible for our time. Some of my staff are already working, so they just kind of stay on, where on Saturday, you know, they have to come out from their day off and set it up and get everything ready. So yeah, we're thinking about doing it every couple months, maybe every other month. Any questions about this program?
I agree that if you could do it every couple months, if that fits your schedule and the families get a great benefit from it, it's a wonderful thing you do. Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm almost thinking maybe down the road to partner with some of the restaurants, and the restaurants could offer these, you know, maybe a deal, like parents go to their restaurant, the kids stay with us. So we'll see.
That's a great idea.
All righty. So let's have a motion, please, to receive and file C9 staff report.
I'll make a motion to receive and file C9 staff report.
I'll second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing no opposition, C9 staff report, Parents Night Out. Actually, it's now called Kids Night Out, excuse me, is received and filed. Moving on to C10 is our staff report of soccer 2021.
All right, thank you. Yeah, we had a great soccer season. There was almost 200 players that played this season. Next season we'll shoot for 250. So there's, you know, like I said, it was a great season. Just a few minor things that we can improve on. One of them being our under 8 division. That's for, you know, the players that are about 6 and 7 years old. There was a little bit of confusion at the start of the season when I started working. You know, our staff had done a great job. They tried to set a style of play that was a little bit different than the U6, which, you know, under 6 being the 4 and 5 year olds. So they tried to set something up that was slightly different, but there just seemed to be a little bit confusion. The field sizes were the same size. They were using the same goals. And one of the recommendations I have would be to clearly define the under 8 division moving forward on to next season. There's, you know, probably like 3 simple things that we can do that will make it a lot, you know, better developmentally for these players, which, you know, it's an important age group. The players are starting to get a little bit more self-aware, and this is the start of their sports experience. So to me, it's, you know, very, very vital part in their sports kind of careers, I guess, to start out. So one of the things we can do is just define the number of players on the field. There seemed to be some confusion whether they were doing 4v4, like how the co-ed 6v6 does, or a 5v5, or, you know, is it a 5v5 with a goalie? So hopefully next year we can, you know, take a look at what's going to work best for our program. We can look at some of the neighboring leagues and see what they do. Some of those leagues do a 6v6 for the under 8 division. Another thing we could do is create a field size and boundaries that differ from the co-ed U6 division. So I think the U6 division plays on a 70 by 35 field, which, you know, the U.S. soccer, like a lot of these standards are coming down from the U.S. soccer organization, which indirectly oversees Cal South, which is our parent organization for soccer. Those are recommendations, and we at the end of the day, we need to do what's best for our program here. And so we can, you know, maybe consider a 105 by 60 size for the U8, which is kind of a happy medium between the youngest age group and what would be the next one, which is the under 10. Another thing we did is we had co-ed teams, and so maybe we can consider signing up gender-specific teams for the under 8 group. Sometimes, you know, players feel more comfortable playing with, you know, the same gender as them, you know, because I looked at the numbers and we had about 40% of the players in that division were girls. And so, you know, I think it's important that they feel comfortable and you know, they have a good experience. And so, you know, we can consider sign up gender specific teams. and partnering with South Bay like we do for a lot of the other divisions to make a league between us and them if we don't have enough teams to just play with ourselves. So we can clearly define the under eight division moving forward to next season. That'll be nice and easy. One of the other challenges was the recruitment of referees, which, you know, is a national trend all across the United States. Referees, umpires are hard to come by, just like most staffing for, you know, everything across the board. So we can recruit referees, you know, as we are registering players. We did a good job with basketball, so we gained we had a pretty robust staff that we can offer just another opportunity to work with us moving forward on to soccer season. And so we're going to try to get a lot bigger staff so we don't have to rely on our coordinators to referee as much. So that'll be one thing that we can do. And when we set up the All-Star teams, we didn't really have a board formulated, so a lot of the stuff that typically a volunteer board would end up doing kind of fell onto our department, kind of walking them through how to get uniforms for the All-Star program and sign up for tournaments. We have to be careful with the All-Star program because it differs from your typical recreation program because it's competitive in nature rather than, you know, the kind of recreational model where everyone plays. And, we probably shouldn't be the ones making the decisions about what players are picked for a competitive team like that. So having an advisory board or, you know, a group of volunteers that could help with that would be beneficial to us. Overall, it was a great soccer season on the coast. We have a great group of people that coach and play here. So, excited for the next soccer season. So if anybody has any questions, let me know.
Well, I have no questions, just a few comments, Mr. Zink. I think that you've outlined some really exciting things that you're working on. And it sounds like things are in pretty good hands there. You know, you have a pretty firm grasp on what we're going to be doing, and you lined it out pretty nicely.
Drew? Great, thank you. Yeah.
No, so are we saying that the smaller kids should get a smaller field?
No, I'm proposing that they get a bigger field. Correct. Yeah. So they were using the same size field as the co-ed U6 division. So going from a 70 by 35 to hopefully a 105 by 60 field.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what if we run into the situation where a young woman would want to play on a team? Who makes the rules? Because, I wouldn't want anybody not to have the opportunity they think they deserve.
Sure. So I think, you know, historically they probably haven't had enough players to do girls and boys teams for that division. Hopefully as the program continues to grow, we can give them the opportunity to sign up for just a girls team. And that's what I was saying. If we didn't have enough, let's say girls teams, for example, maybe we could reach out, you know, we can talk to South Bay before the season starts and, you know, if they're signing up girls teams, we can have a partnership between them to run the under eight league.
Okay. All right. That's good. Thank you.
Yep.
Mr. Purcell, you have anything that you'd like to ask?
I have no questions. Thank you.
Okay. Sure. Okay, well, a lot was covered there. May I have a motion to receive and file staff report, Soccer 2021?
Okay, I'll make a motion that we receive and file Soccer Report 2021.
And a second?
I'll second that.
Excellent. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Seeing no opposition, C10, the staff report, Soccer 2021, is received and filed. We're moving down our calendar to the last item here, C11, which is the staff report, Aquatics, July through October 2021.
And I'll go ahead and take that, Mr. Chairman, and go over the report on behalf of Katie Tucker, our Aquatics Coordinator. Katie's been with us for a number of years and has been in this aquatics business for quite some time now, probably close to 20 years, and is a professional in what she does. One quick note is you'll see that the staff report is showing the evaluation from July 2021 through February of 2022, which is not in line with our agenda. The agenda showed July through October 21, so please make note of that adjustment. Thank you. And so basically, this is a report trying to bring you up to date with, as close to current within this fiscal year as we can. And what you'll see again is an outline of our robust aquatics program that's taking place, that does take place at the Morbay High School Aquatics Facility. I say robust in that we have morning and afternoon lap swim opportunities. We've got a master's swim program, aqua aerobics, semi-private and private lessons, group lessons. We also will host, or did host over the summertime, our youth services kids camp program, where the kids will come on down from Del Mar Elementary by way of trolley to be dropped off to get swim lesson instruction during their stay in the camp. So what we're doing is a crossover kind of collaborative work between two divisions within our department here. And it's been very well received, really on both ends, as far as keeping the pool busy and then also providing a different activity for the participants of our kids camp. We did wrestle with some lingering effects of COVID, with locker rooms not being open and available for use, requiring porta potties, which we're able to provide restroom facilities, at least as porta potties are not the most enjoyable facility to use, especially if you wanted to change your clothes and whatnot, as we do not allow what we call a deck change, just for privacy reasons with the mixed use of participants out in the swimming pool, children and adults. One thing that Mrs. Tucker wanted me to point out was the fact that within this department, we're a small operation, small city. We wear a lot of different hats, and we do have crossover of staffing. So we'll see, pool staff used for special events that are offered through youth services, or pool staff jump down to the beach to assist with junior lifeguards when junior lifeguard staff was out due to illness or an unexpected leave of absence. Though the pool staff is not certified beach lifeguards, they are, however, trained in first aid and CPR for the professional rescuer, consistent with that of our USLA lifeguards, who are also trained in the same first aid and CPR, but then do receive further extensive instruction and training in open ocean water life-saving. So when those issues did arise, there were slight modifications to our junior lifeguard program to allow for our pool staff to jump in. And it was really, I think, one, two, or three of our lifeguard staff that were able to jump in to the junior lifeguard program as needed. So it didn't really happen too often. But the point I'm trying to make here is the way we are funded, our budget shows breakdowns between sports, youth services, aquatics, and administration. And with this crossover of use of staff, the charges for the staff time are still being picked up by aquatics programs when they do these crossover work efforts. So she wanted me to make sure that I made note of that, because it's a bigger hit as far as a staffing expense to her budget. Now, she's not alone, though, because we do see some crossover with other VR other divisions where sports, some of our sports staff will assist with youth services and the camp programs, and vice versa. We'll see some of our youth services staff come on out and possibly referee or umpire or whatnot with the sports. Thank you. So that being said, I'm looking into how we can more clearly define our expenses with regard to staff to help better with our reporting efforts and just being more true and consistent to each division so we get a better understanding and representation of their bottom line when we close out our fiscal year. So you'll see in the financial portion, the fiscal impact, expenses coming in at close to $115,000, and then our revenues coming in at a little over $90,000, leaving us with a cost recovery of 80%. There's mention in there in the cost recovery written portion that the program's classified as a merit service category, and just to reiterate what that means again is there's a recovery cost recovery pyramid that this office operates under, with the exception of during COVID time. But now that we're coming out of that, what we look to do is categorize the various services that and opportunities and activities that we provide, and categorize them into various recovery classifications. This one, called the merit service, shoots to recover 70 to 79% of our expenses. And the justification behind that is swimming is an activity that the city feels is important enough to where general fund tax dollars will help to subsidize the cost of the program. Similarly, you'll find that the same with youth services and childcare. You'll have zero cost recovery quite often on any of our special events, such as the Christmas tree lighting, things that bring out the general community interest, where we're not going to take and receive fees or generate revenue from activities like that. And then on the other end of the scale would be something more like adult sports, where we're looking at that to be a more of 100% cost recovery, as that is a decision that's made by adults, where that's an activity that you might want to participate in, and the city doesn't feel a need to further subsidize your choice of an activity. Similar to if the city operated a golf course, we wouldn't be subsidizing a golfer's green fee. So if that makes some sense, that was just my quick and brief explanation of cost recovery. Moving into Mrs. Tucker's program recommendations, she's always out looking for new programs to add, other ways that we can cross use the swimming pool to have multiple programs going at one time while you still have the same lifeguard staff watching the water. So she's very good about that. She works very well with the staff at Morbay High School to assist in summer programs that the school might want to take on. Oftentimes we find ourselves with changes in high school coaching staff, and we will get about a 1 week, 2 week notice that, you know, hey, can you guys do a water polo program for us this summer? And she's quick to rise to that occasion. We're fortunate to have Mrs. Tucker on as our aquatics coordinator, as she is quick to respond to these needs, but mostly and most importantly, she's a qualified Red Cross first aid and CPR instructor trainer, as well as a trainer herself, and is able to conduct classes to train lifeguards, as well as our beach lifeguards in first aid and CPR, as well as our recreation staff in first aid and CPR as well. So carrying those qualifications and certifications is very important for what we do here, and she does hold those. She, like I said, works very well with Morbay High School staff, and we and I'll say this once again, that we work with the school district and the high school to to put out a what they call a career technical education program, which is a credit class at the high school where we were able to offer up lifeguard training for a handful of high school students. It's self-serving for us. It's a dual purpose, really. Of course, it serves the kids, but it also serves us in that once they're done with their training, we're able to pick them up and hire them as lifeguards. As Mr. Zink had mentioned, there's a nationwide shortage in referees and you know, youth sports officials. We also have a nationwide shortage in lifeguards. And this is something that we're very proud of, as our staff is probably the most the biggest staff you might find here in the Central Coast as far as lifeguards are concerned. City of San Luis Obispo struggles and is not able to keep their pool open and offer as many programs due to that shortage. And similarly, the San Luis Obispo County Parks struggles keeping their swimming pools open due to the same reason. So we're happy to have Katie Tucker as our aquatics program, aquatics coordinator again, for that reason as well, by being able to bring on board and maintain a full staff of mostly high school students and young people who are moving for forward with their first work experience as well. So it's a great program that she offers out there, and that's what I have to say. I'd be happy to try to answer some questions on her behalf in regards to the aquatics program.
Well, I have no questions. It's a lot going on. You're doing a good job, and so is she. Mm-hmm. But I have no questions from me.
When I have a question. When Mrs. Tucker is sharing staff to other cost centers, do we have a sense of what that meant to her program and her cost center?
Yeah, I could say it might have been less than a 5% hit to her budget.
Okay.
She's got some talented staff who also work with our youth services program, but they're also talented in an artistic way. So when it gets to the point of maybe decorating our facility here, the community center, there's a couple of young ladies there who are again artistic, and they painted the windows here at the community center with a holiday look for Thanksgiving in preparation for the community Thanksgiving dinner, and then they came back out and painted them again for Christmas time and for that season, which then kind of livened up the place for the programs that we offered here in the community center, and not only for our programs, but it also brings quite a bit of cheer to the general public that comes in and uses our the community center for the many activities that we offer, and also for the seniors where the senior center is attached to this building, and brings quite a bit of cheer to those folks as well. And Mr. Purcell, your hand's up again. Please go ahead.
One more question. Do we have a mechanism of tracking in-kind revenue, so to speak? So do we keep track of volunteer hours like you're talking about? It sounds like there's a lot of commitment from the staff into supporting other programs and the teamwork involved in that.
Yeah, and that's a great question. And the mechanism is basically us tracking that by hand and tabulating to the best that we can the volunteer efforts that we see throughout the year. It's predominantly in our youth sports program where you see the majority of the volunteer hours. But also you see a huge amount of volunteer hours coming from the senior center. Those numbers will come out through the senior center in a different form, and I will make note to put them down for a reporting one of our next meetings once I can gather up those numbers, because I do think it's important. not only are those volunteer hours on the senior side spent by keeping the doors open, you know, work in the office, but it's also in the senior classes that we offer here as well, such as our PACE class of people with arthritis can't exercise. There's volunteers for that, Tai Chi, ACEs, life drawing, other activities that are offered through the senior center. So that's a great question, Commissioner Purcell. And I think that's going to be an item that I'd like to move higher up on our priority list to tabulate and then to recognize the volunteers. At one time, this office did host volunteer recognition parties. And I think in maybe 2008, 2009, they were removed due to lack of funding. And that just kind of fell off the radar. But I know they were, it was quite a big program back in the 90s and early 2000s, where we have hundreds of volunteers come out to this community center and be recognized and given volunteer pins, which had different levels of achievement based on the number of volunteer hours that you had offered up that year. So it's a great question. I like your thoughts there, and I'd like to see us move towards something along those lines. If that answered your question.
It does.
Okay. Long-winded, I'd have to say. Sometimes I am that way. And that's all I have there, unless there's other questions specific to the aquatics. I'd be happy to give it a try.
No, it looks like it's being very well attended. And hopefully, as we come out of this COVID thing, it'll get better and things will be great there, cost recovery-wise and everything.
Yes.
I'm really happy to see that 336 of the Cube Clubs went swimming.
Mm-hmm.
Great. That's wonderful. Thank you for doing that. That's a great job.
Thank you.
We'll have to tell Mrs. Tucker that.
I will.
Thank you.
I tried to put her on screen, but she didn't like this kind of stuff. That's okay. All I have, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Thank you. May I have a motion to receive and file a C11 staff report?
I move to receive and file C11 staff report.
Second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Seeing no opposition then, C11 staff report aquatics is received and filed. So next is we're moving toward the end of our agenda. The next item is future agenda items. Do we have any future agenda items? Okay. Well, with nothing being said, I will adjourn this meeting. Thank you everybody for attending. We are adjourning. The next meeting will be the regular Recreation and Parks Commission meeting at 6 p.m. on Thursday, May 19th, 2022, and it will be held at the Veterans Memorial Building in person, 209 Surf Street in Morro Bay. See you then.
Good. Thank you all.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
Yeah, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you, guys.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
Thank Cheers. You. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Highland, thank you very much, sir.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, we'll do it again in a couple months.
Yep, yep. Have a good night, Kirk.
All right, thank you, you too. Good night.
Rick.